This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Top of the morning. Welcome in. Grant and Danny with you on 106.7 The Fan. It is Friday, the weekend, straight shot ahead. What's going on?
We did it. We got here. Doesn't feel like a Friday, but here we are. It's Friday nonetheless. It's going to be about 60 degrees outside today, my friend. I'm going to go outside, before it snows tomorrow.
Well, curse you, mid-Atlantic weather. That it's not going to snow, aren't they?
Well, it's whatever it is. It's cold and moisture is falling from the sky in some form. It's going to suck. Point is, today's nice. This schizophrenic weather, nobody really enjoys it going up and down. It's held up my sinuses, but I'm going to tell you, I'm enjoying today. Today, I'm going outside.
Yeah, get outside, maybe throw the baseball a little bit.
That's the plan.
Spring training is going on in Florida. Speaking of which, we'll get into the Nats today on the show, as well as talk about the Redskins' biggest need outside of the quarterback position. And there was a poll done by Rick Snyder. He writes at thefandc.com, the Washington Post, insider page, and some other spots. And Rick Snyder's poll, which was really eye-opening, asked Redskins fans if they would be on board with the team leaving town for a few years, because Dan Snyder couldn't get a stadium deal and rolled out, if it meant you had to go years without the Redskins, Cleveland Browns style, to get a team back with a new owner afterwards. And the results were staggering in that the majority of people were willing to sign up for that right now. Is that where we are? So that's all coming up on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. But let's start with a little recap of the last 24 hours in D.C. sports. First, Max Scherzer at spring training meeting with the media for the first time. Scherzer was asked about free agency, the fact that Bryce Harper is not signed, Manny Machado has not signed. Scherzer himself got a $210 million contract before the market changed for the worse for the players. Here is what Scherzer had to say about what's going on in his sport.
No other sport has this in their free agency. You know, why is this exclusive to baseball? And so you got to start looking at different reasons of, you know, why this is happening. And one thing that I think that is going on and it's pervasive is just the amount of commentary from, you know, club officials and everybody that make their knowledge public of what they're trying to do in the offseason. It just feels like teams are negotiating through the media. And to me, that's one of the key driving forces and maybe why we're seeing a slower market than usual is that we know every intention of every single team, something that other leagues consider tampering, and they don't tolerate that.
I think Scherzer's super smart.
I do too.
I think he's a sharp dude. I think he's right about this when he says that in baseball, the blueprint is laid out in a way that is not in other sports. I mean, you get these pieces done every offseason. You see him, let's say, in the Post, if it's Chelsea Janes or whoever else is going to be on the beat, and you get quotes from officials, or clearly they talk to, you know, Mike Rizzo and people with the club, and here is our thinking this year. We need to go get a left-handed power bat. In general in baseball, there's more availability. The media is more welcomed. There's more conversations between the high-ranking officials and people like Barry Svrluga who give you an inside look on how the team is thinking. The sport's covered differently. But to Scherzer's point, he sees a trickle-down effect of the commentary of the teams coming back to bite the players. It's not dots I've ever connected. There could be something to it. But there's no doubt that in baseball, more so than in football, where everything's very private and secretive,
yeah,
you know exactly what a team's trying to accomplish every offseason.
That is true. That part I agree with. The tampering part, I got an example of what tampering looks like. It's going on in basketball right now with the New Orleans Pelicans. You know, a guy 2 years left on his deal, basically, is forcing a trade to a different team. Carmelo Anthony's done it. You can go down the line. That's what tampering is. This isn't tampering. This is watering down, though. I do agree with that sentiment. It's the only sport where it's like that. And I think the next CBA, whenever they get down the brass tacks to do this, should reflect that. I think all these things need to be done because the dragging out of this process for whoever's at fault for it is not good for anybody.
Yeah, I wonder if we're going to have a work stoppage.
We're heading that way.
I mean, I feel that way about football, to be honest, too, because it does seem like the two sides are just so far apart in both of these sports. And you're seeing it every offseason. The gap is growing and growing. Baseball could probably much less afford a work stoppage than football. You know, both sports, I'd say, are very healthy right now. But football is the king of American sport. And frankly, it's a drug. So if it goes away for a little while, and I don't mean for a full season, but like the lockout of several years ago when I was in high school, going back to 2011, if you have something like that again where we miss out on what is a normal offseason and come September games are played, people forgive and forget. Baseball has not had a true legitimate work stoppage since 94.
Mm-hmm. And that was damaging.
It really hurt the game. It crippled a couple of years' worth of baseball. And the one thing that saved the sport, I guess there were two. First, it was in 96, Cal Ripken Jr.'s game streak. And then in 1998, the home run derby chase.
Yep.
Without those two things, both happening within 4 years of the work stoppage, who knows what baseball looks like right now. But you're not going to get a game streak, and you're certainly not getting a home run chase in today's game with the changes that have been made. So you better think about that before you go to war and decide you're going to miss out on games. Next in line, as we recap some of what happened last night in sports, the Caps may have played their most complete game of the season. In fact, they fell behind 1-0 2:06 in on a defensive breakdown. And because they're playing out west against the best team in the conference and the second-best team in the National Hockey League, a Stanley Cup favorite at this point in the San Jose Sharks, you thought, here we go. West Coast trip. They're not going to show up. They're about to get blown out. My thought was they're going to lose 4-0, 5-1. The final score was 5-1, but it was 5-1 good guys as they scored 5 unanswered. They played defensively sound the rest of the way. Braden Holtby was marvelous, 25 saves, 26 shots. TJ Oshie scored twice. Alex Ovechkin picked up his 39th goal. Jacob Verana, Tom Wilson both scoring. Willie's was an empty netter. But Oshie, he's got two daughters, and on Valentine's Day, he scored a goal for both.
And Timo Meier coming back along the right-hand side.
There's nowhere to go.
Nowhere to go. That's been the case all night. Michael Kempe that time, hanging right with him. Fucking center, and now Oshie all alone, and a penalty coming up. He shoots and scores! TJ Oshie keeps it low, and it's 4-1 Washington!
There were so many things that went right for the Capitals last night, so I'd be remiss to say it's all one thing, but this team is just so different when Kuznetsov plays a great game. Now, his line last night, 8 combined shots for Ovechkin and Wilson. He had a tremendous feed on an Ovechkin goal for a point. It's crazy how different the Capitals are when not just he gets a point, but when he's engaged and active, they're electrifying offensively. And then on nights where he's just kind of skating around, they're an average team. But they also played really well defensively. They got a strong performance in net. Holtby was nails.
The Kuznetsov thing, I hate to in a team sport, because I rail against people that do this where they go, Ovechkin hasn't won this or has won this. I hate that. I hate boiling a team sport down to one guy. X factor's not the right word. This is the lead goose. This is the guy that when he's going, everything else seems to fall into place. Holtby has to be hot. We know that. But Kuznetsov has to be great. Sorry. That's just kind of where we are. The third of the game that he's on the ice, he's got to be Mr. Everything. And when he's not engaged, when he's, you know, whether it's coming off the concussion or just doesn't feel it or has his confidence down or is pissed off at the coach, I don't know. When he's right, everybody eats.
The Caps blew out the best team in the Western Conference, the second-best team in hockey, the hottest team in the sport since the start of January. With the most goals, 70, they held them to 1. It was an incredible performance. So good on Washington as they picked up a huge 2 points in the second game of 6 on the road. The goal is to get 6 of a possible 12. They've positioned themselves decently to do that so far. They got a back-to-back coming up against 2 beatable teams. So hopefully they could get 2 or 3 points there. Speaking of the Western Conference, I think the Thunder right now are the third best team out West. In terms of record, it's Golden State 1, Denver 2. There's a case to be made probably that Oklahoma City could beat Denver in a playoff series the way that they're going right now with Russell Westbrook and Paul George. Markieff Morris has left the Wizards. He was traded, remember, to New Orleans. He was available to sign via free agency somewhere. He's going to be inking a deal with the Oklahoma City Thunder because they're adding depth to their front court as they get ready for their playoff run. So the 29-year-old who's getting healthy hasn't played since the day after Christmas, signing with the Thunder. I think this is a nice little addition for them. He's averaging 11.5 points and around 5 rebounds, a couple of assists, 34 games this season, had made 15 starts before getting benched by the Wizards. Look around, though. I saw that Otto Porter scored almost 40 points last night.
That's right.
He had 37, right?
Career high.
Career best 37, never did that in Washington with Chicago.
They could never get him to shoot enough. He took a career high in shots, too. 20 shots was the thing that everybody said we always want Otto Porter to get to.
Right.
He's a good shooter. Somehow, in a different place, was able to take 20.
I think some of that's going to be, like, when we look at terrible teams in the past and receivers had good seasons, like Terrell Pryor went for 1,000 yards when the Browns were 1-15 or something like that. Someone's got to get those yards.
Sure.
It's an awful team. Someone's got to score points.
O.J. Mayo could score you 30 on a 15-win team.
Exactly.
Is he a great scorer on a great team? No, we know that.
But for Otto to do that, and it was on a night where Kelly Oubre had his career high.
Mm-hmm.
Oubre right now is pouring in 20-plus every night. He's got like 23 or more in a bunch of games out of the last 10. He's playing well. Porter's playing well. Markieff Morris is latching on with a playoff team that's going to try to make a run. It's just annoying being a Wizards fan.
Listen to the list of teams, according to Shams Charania. I've never said his name right.
Shams Charania?
Yeah, I've never said his name right. Thunder, Rockets, Nets, Raptors, Oklahoma City. All in on Markieff Morris. But what the Wizards did, make sure to know, they saved a couple million dollars to not pay this year's luxury tax. Their stated goal is to win. You could have gotten something that could help you win this year. They didn't do that. You could have gotten something that could help you win in the future. They didn't do that. They did a salary dump for Markieff Morris, who they traded their 2016 first-round pick for. That's where we are. That first-round pick in 2016 ended up as, drumroll, $2 million in luxury tax savings this year. That's your franchise. Please fire Ernie Grunfeld. They're a joke.
Colin Kaepernick was approached by the Alliance of American Football to play. You go shine there, maybe you get yourself an opportunity in the NFL. The amount of money he wanted to play in that league is asinine. Wait till you hear it next on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Grant and Danny, welcome back. 106.7 The Fan. So a story came out yesterday about Colin Kaepernick and the Alliance of American Football we wanted to hit on, which was, you know, a lot of people speculated and said, if you're a league trying to get some eyeballs and some attention, why wouldn't you try to acquire some of the quarterbacks who have fallen out of favor in the NFL, whether that's Tim Tebow, who apparently they reached out to as well. He's got a pretty decent baseball career going right now.
He might make the bigs at some point this year. It's amazing.
I would say there is a better chance that he does than doesn't, to be honest with you, if he stays healthy, right?
Yeah.
If you had to say right now, what is the chance we see Tim Tebow in the major leagues this year? It's over 50%.
That's where I'd put it. I'd put it just past a coin toss, depending on how the Mets season goes. And by the way, some people like them in terms of their opportunities this year with that starting staff. Now, a couple years when they're still paying Cano and some of the older guys that they went and acquired, this might go, you know, belly up. But right now, they're not bad on paper.
There's four teams that can win the NL East, in my opinion. Because the Braves did it last year. The Phillies are going to knock on the door, and I still think they're going to sign Harper in the next week. The Nationals can absolutely win the division, even without Bryce. And the Mets made a huge trade and a couple of additions around, as you said, a strong front of their rotation.
Phillies have better odds than the Nationals do, according to the people that do this for a living.
But in addition to going and talking to Tebow, who's in the Mets organization, that they made a phone call to Colin Kaepernick. And I'll read here from Yahoo.com. The AAF stands for the Alliance of American Football. Reached out to those two huge names, according to a report in The Athletic. Lindsey Jones spoke with AAF co-founder, former NFL executive Bill Polian, and he told her that the league's CEO, Charlie Ebersole, did contact Colin Kaepernick about playing for the league that had its inaugural games last weekend. Kaepernick asked for $20 million to play in the league. Quote, I don't know what transpired, but he's obviously not playing, Polian said. The Associated Press reported that Kaepernick asked for at least $20 million to play. Polian said in July, the AAF and its players would all receive three-year, $250,000 non-guaranteed deals, making Kaepernick's reported ask an apparent non-starter. Now, 3 years, 250 grand, you compare it to some of the other non-NFL leagues, these guys are getting paid decent lumps, sum of money for 10 games. Basically, this is a couple of months' worth of games and a half year at most in terms of training in the pre- and the postseason work that you're going to have to put in. That's a decent chunk of change to play non-NFL football. Kaepernick would be the biggest name, would be the biggest ratings generator, the reason that people turn on their TVs. So it stands to reason he should request more money than one of the other, you know, Ham and Eggers, who's quarterback in another team.
The highest paid guys are around 250. Okay. Now, that's not $20 million, obviously, but he could have even demanded more than that. He could have been in the fours, fives, who knows, more than almost anybody else.
I would even say if you said, I'll play for $2 million this year. As high a number as that is, you asked for that, I wouldn't have been shocked if they gave it to him.
So, somebody would have been willing to, if I had to bet, honestly, because of the, again, the eyeballs, the attention, what might have come from it, good and bad, honestly. You put the league on the map.
Polian himself, who has a relationship with Tebow, they worked together at ESPN, reached out to the former Florida quarterback, wanted him to play for the Orlando Apollos, would have been a great draw there, play for Steve Spurrier, of course, the ties to the Gators, they know each other so well. Tebow said, I got baseball going on. You know, thanks for the offer. Sounds cool, but I'm trying to become a New York Met. Kaepernick's out of football, and the conversation comes up all the time about him not getting a chance to play football again and no one bringing him in for workouts or for camp. I got to be honest with you. There's no way for this not to become some type of political debate, which I don't want it to. He's doing a lot of good work. He's raising a lot of awareness in the community. He's raising a ton of money, which might be equally as or more important for the cause that he took up, which was a killing of several African-American people by police officers and the general mistreatment still and the racism in this country, not just by police officers, but by people of minorities. All of that work can still be good, and I can still say what I'm about to say, which this is, makes me feel a little bit different, though, about Kaepernick not getting a shot. Here's the deal. If you want to play in the NFL again, what better opportunity than this? You don't think that some of these quarterbacks are going to get looks at training camp that go out there and shine? I promise you they're going to. There's a guy playing in the AAF right now, John Wolford, who's 23 years old, who threw for 275 yards and four touchdowns for the Arizona Hotshots last week. You know, these teams are coached by either longtime successful college coaches or former, you know, NFL coaching types like Mike Martz. Bill Polian runs the league. It's nothing but NFL players backing this league. This is not tiddlywinks. If you go out and you shine, teams are going to say, come to our training camp. What if Colin Kaepernick this past week played in the AAF opener, ran all over the joint, was head and shoulders better than everyone else, threw for 372 yards and five touchdowns? What you'd be getting this week is, A, everyone in the country's talking about you. B, everyone's saying, see, this guy should be playing. He's so much better than this league. Why isn't he in the NFL? And C, teams would say, oh, we can see what it looks like. Yeah, he's still a great athlete. He's still got it. He can still run around. He can still make all the throws. He's clearly in great shape. This is your workout, so to speak. I don't understand why he wouldn't be interested in this to the point where he would demand an amount of money that clearly means he's not going to do it.
What do you want to be? What do you want to be? And if the answer, and it's a legitimate answer, by the way, is a figure that's been the outsider, the blackballed by the NFL, the guy that's got the collusion case, the guy that's, you know, in standing for social justice or whatever it is, whatever his brand is now, do you want to be that? Or do you want to be a football player? That's why I criticized Tim Tebow years ago, where Tim Tebow was told, you could play for us as a fullback or as a tight end or something else or a punt protector to run one fake every eight games. He said, no, I'm a quarterback. Got a chance to go play in the CFL. No, I'm a quarterback. The world has told you you're not something. Right or wrong, okay? The league has said you are not a starter in this league anymore. You can go into the reasons if you want to. That's your call. But the league has said one thing. Nobody wants a high-profile backup. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense for NFL teams to do. They're not spending $20 million, your asking price, on a backup quarterback. The rumor at various times was, remember Denver offered him something and he said, no, I don't want to do that for that little money. He's holding out for one thing only.
Right,
which is a $20 million job to be a starter.
And all I ask really is that this becomes part of the conversation. Like, to me, you can't say Grant and Danny won't let me come on their show if you don't like how we're asking you to come on our show. In other words, like, we have two ways we have guests on, really, okay? We have full segments where we talk to a person for 13 minutes or whatever it is, or we do a Beltway Blitz where we talk to people for 2 or 3 minutes at a time and three people in a segment, and it's bam, bam, bam. It's very quick. Like, we've had people tell us before, hey, I love coming on your guys' show. I'm happy to do a full segment, but I don't want to do that Blitz thing anymore. I got to stop what I'm doing in the middle of my day to come on for 3 minutes. It's just not worth it. No problem. No harm. No foul.
Sure.
But you can't then say Grant and Danny refused to have me on their show if we're asking you to come on and be in the Beltway Blitz. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, of course.
You can't say no one will go to the dance with me if someone tells you, hey, I'm willing to go to the dance with you, but you got to meet me at my house. You got to drive. Like, you can probably play in the NFL. In fact, the Broncos gave you an opportunity. It wasn't for the money you wanted. Now the Alliance of American Football, which is an excellent way for you to get back on the radar, get back in the mix, show that you can still play. This is a wonderful showcase.
What better way to demonstrate that this is what you're committed to? Because that's one of the questions. Like it or not, that's a question. Is what would he rather be? Would he rather be an activist or would he rather be a football player? Now, what's more important in the grand scheme of history?
Activism.
What's more important to you right now? Is it being a football player? Because all we hear every day is all the working out that he's doing, all the effort he's doing to be in the NFL, waiting for that call. This is where the opportunity is. What better way to stick a middle finger up to everybody, all the angry shouters that tell you you don't care about football, you don't even want to play football, than to go dominate this JV league?
Yeah.
Go dominate this league that's a bunch of backups
way,
and also
make
rants.
Good money doing it. Not that he needs money necessarily.
Right, he financially he's fine.
Go make $1.5 million. I mean, that's my point, by the way. If he says activism is more important, I tend to agree with him. In fact, I think it's admirable if he were to come out and say, no, I'm doing something bigger than playing football and certainly bigger than playing in the Alliance of American Football. But that's not the conversation. The conversation is he's getting blackballed. No one's giving him a chance. No one's giving him a shot. When, in fact, he's getting these chances that aren't up to his standards, that he doesn't like the way they're being presented to him.
And so, again, if you're holding out for one thing and that thing is not available, the world has told you you're not that.
Correct.
If I get this is never going to happen, by the way, because I'm not successful, but if I get offered a spot on Stephen Colbert, but I go, no, I want to be on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. That's
right.
What I'm holding out for. I'll take the TV opportunity.
And let's say it's completely unfair. Let's say something happens in your life where you were on that level. You were killing it on Colbert. Just killing it. You're sitting next to him. You were in the role where you sit next to him on the set and you interview the people all night long. And you're basically like his musician, whatever. And for whatever reason, you're off the show. And now he comes back and he says, hey, some time has passed. I think there's a way I can get you back. I need you to be a writer for me. And we'll do occasional like hits with you behind the scenes at your desk. And you say, no, I'm going to sit next to you. Do you want to get back or you don't?
Mm-hmm.
You got to make some moves to do that. People are trying to help you here. Either take the olive branch or don't. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. The AAF approached Colin Kaepernick. He wanted $20 million to play in a league where they pay guys a couple hundred grand. Your thoughts on this? Does it change how you feel about him not getting another shot in the league at all? You're listening to G&D.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The Alliance of American Football approached Colin Kaepernick about playing, try to help them and help himself. We want eyeballs. You need a shot to prove that you can still play at a high level. No better way to force the hand of NFL teams than go out and put on a clinic on a nationally televised game in front of a nationally televised audience at the closest non-NFL level to the NFL game right now. Bunch of dudes that have shined in preseason games like Rashad Ross. Bunch of guys that are basically at the level, according to Bill Polian, of NFL backups. go show that you can crush these dudes, and teams might start thinking about
you. Put so much pressure on the league. It would. I try to think of good analogies. I don't have great ones, but think of a famous comic. Jay Farrell, for example, hilarious, was on Saturday Night Live, excellent, super impressionist, one of the best guys working today. Got the chance to open for him at GW a couple years ago, right? He, in order to get him to show up, you probably need $25,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, okay? To get me to show up, it's way less than that. But what if I was like, nope, I'm the same as Jay Farrell. I do some impressions. I'm witty. I'm fine. $50,000. You know who's not calling? Anybody. Nobody wants me for that. See what I'm saying? But if I hold out and say that's what I'm worth when the world's telling you you're not, regardless of how unfair it is, you need to adjust your expectations.
My analogy would be that you or me, I'll just use myself. I get fired, okay?
All right.
For whatever reason, I'm fired from 106.7 The Fan. And a year or two goes by, and I got fired for something that maybe wasn't fair. Maybe it was a misunderstanding. I did something that they didn't like, but a lot of people didn't think it was that big of a deal, let's say, okay? And I'm now out there and waiting for a radio job. And a company comes to me, and I've been out of work for a couple years now, but I was getting good ratings at one point in time at 106.7 The Fan in the number 7 market in the country. And they come to me and they say, hey, we're going to hire you to do a radio show. You haven't done one since you got fired by them, and you've been kind of persona non grata. We're going to bring you in. We're going to give you a slot Saturdays and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. I said, no, why should I do that? I've proven I can do a good job in middays every single day from 10 to 2. I want a 10 to 2 slot. And they go, well, we can't give you a 10 to 2 slot. We're not going to do that. But we'll give you this chance. And it, look, do well 10 to 1. You can get back on in middays. People will see you still got it. Maybe the further we get away from this thing, the less they'll care about what you did in the past. That they'll see that you're still good at the radio. That, to me, is a really good comp because he needs to just prove that he can play football and pressure these GMs who need quarterbacks. If he played great for 10 games in the AAF this year, how much more noise would there be the next time someone went through the Redskins situation this year if we just saw him play? Because it was easily dismissed last year by, it's been 2 years since he's been around.
They get to hide behind that.
We don't even know if he's in football shape. We don't know how much he's training. You wouldn't be able to do that if he'd gone out and crushed in this league. Sydney is in Haymarket on Grant and Danny. What do you make of Kaepernick saying, not unless you pay me $20 million?
Oh, guys, you guys are so missing it. You're so smart. You're going to change your mind one day. This is a smear campaign by the NFL. That information did not have to be released. He's already proven that he is as good as at least the top 20, 25 quarterbacks in the league by taking the team to the Super Bowl.
I'm going to let you finish. That was in 2012. Okay. That was 7 years ago. He more recently got benched by Blaine Gabbert and had a game where he completed like 5 of 25 passes. So if we're going to acknowledge Blaine that he was great in 2012 before the league caught up to the read option, we have to acknowledge he was terrible at one point in time, too. Both of those things are true.
Okay. The Redskins just signed Josh Johnson.
Yeah.
He's been out of the league forever.
Yes.
Stephen Peterman is terrible. You can look around the league. They're terrible quarterbacks all over the league. All over the league. You cannot tell me that Colin Kaepernick is not one of the 60 best people walking this earth.
I'm not going to tell you that. He is one of the 60 best. He would have been better than Josh Johnson. He also would have brought with him more turmoil, more scrutiny, more credential requests for a lost season. But again, I'm not going to re-legislate if they should have signed him or not. Here's where I think you're missing the point, though. If you're asking me, is he one of the 60 best quarterbacks on the planet? He is. If you're asking me, is he one of the 40 best? I would still say he is. Is he one of the 32 best? I'm not sure about that, but I think there's a conversation to be had where he might be the number 32 starter or the number 26 starter or the 19th starter in the NFL. I don't know. Here's the reality. Right now, no one's giving him that chance. No one is allowing him to prove himself. You know why and I know why, because he took a knee. So if you want that chance, you can either just sit there and pout about not getting the chance or you can do something about it. Back to the analogy. Danny can never work in radio again, or Danny can go get his weekend job and try to get his midday job back. He's got a chance with the Denver Broncos. Wasn't enough money. He's got a chance with the AAF. Needs more money. Mike in Fredericksburg, what's up?
What's going on, boys?
Hey, dude.
I don't think that he's actually – I think he's more – there's more fame and attention dollars in being a martyr than there are in being the 26th best quarterback in the NFL. And I think that – I think deep down, I think he knows that, because you give any true competitor who is, you know, sure of himself, he's going to go out there and he's going to do whatever it takes to prove himself. Johnny Football is playing in Canada. You know, if you gave some of these other guys chances to prove themselves, they're going to go prove themselves. That's what the AAF is doing. I don't think he really wants to play football. I think he wants to be a martyr. If he truly wanted to play football, he would have signed with the Ravens, you know, instead of having his girlfriend torpedo that deal.
And that's kind of the point, is there have been opportunities if it's just about getting back into football. Now, none of them have been good opportunities. And if you want to say, as two callers ago did, they're not fair opportunities, he's above this, you're probably right.
Yeah.
But this is where we are.
Yeah, nobody's saying it's fair. And that's the big takeaway here. This is not fair.
And I'm not saying, by the way, he didn't get blackballed. He did. I'm not saying that by taking a knee, he didn't hurt himself. He did. In fact, if he never took a knee, he would have been in the league the entire time. All of those things can be correct, and here's the next thing that's correct. If he wants to get back in the league, there are paths to do so, none of which he's chosen to take. None of which.
To me, the most intuitive thing here, I understand it's not what you set out to do. I understand that you wanted to be on an NFL team in 2017 or 2018 or, you know, in the upcoming season. I know that. To me, the best way to put pressure on the thing that you want to crack back into
That's a good word,
by is the way. To go dominate this. Again, I think the league is way more nubs than you do. I have no interest in watching it. I might if he was playing, I'll tell you that.
Right.
But to me, you go out there and kick the snot out of everybody and show that you still got it. What kind of pressure is now on owners? You are now the story of this league where the aspiration is to get back in the NFL. You're the best guy in this league. You're the MVP of this thing. Because if you're as good as everybody seems to think you are, you would go out and torch this league, set it on fire. How much pressure would then be on owners? The only excuse they would be able to muster is, we've blackballed him, as opposed to the, well, we don't know if he can still play. He hasn't played in some time, and his skill set eroded, and this. They wouldn't
here's
be able
this
to hide
televised on CBS
anything.
Where he rushed for 100 yards and threw for 340 against 11 guys that are in preseason games tonight. You see what I'm saying? Like,
of course.
That's the difference, is I got this film of a guy playing against a bunch of dudes trying out for NFL teams, three or four that might make a 53-man roster. And he crushed them.
Is it fair? No. Is it the reality? Yes.
So I don't think it's an either or necessarily where, like, the guy calls in and he goes, you guys are missing the point here. He got screwed. You're right. We're past that, though. We're dealing with where we are now. And where we are now is Colin Kaepernick can't play. But I don't think we can continue to say no one is willing to give him any opportunities when he just doesn't like the opportunities being presented to him. It was a good point to bring up the Ravens. I brought up the Broncos a few times. This is a whole different thing where it's a different league, obviously. But if you're desperate to get back in the game, whatever the game is,
mm-hmm.
you got to do what you got to do. And the point, I think, is he's probably better off doing what he's doing now, too. But let's not keep talking about this like no one is willing to extend him any opportunity.
Yeah, ask the guys in independent league baseball. Ask the guys that are, you know, working the shift delivery driving during the day and then at nighttime, you know, suiting up for the Maryland Blue Crabs, whatever, in the hopes they get that phone call. That's what you do.
Kaepernick wanted $20 million to play in the Alliance. Your thoughts on that? Does it change anything about how you feel about his quest to get back into the NFL? 800-636-1067. Wrapping up calls on Colin Kaepernick wanted $20 million to play in the Alliance of American Football. Some of the quarterbacks in the league, by the way, a lot of guys you haven't heard of, a couple you may have and not known it. John Wolford threw for 275, four touchdowns, Wake Forest star at one point in time with the Arizona Hotshots. You know, he's the kind of guy that could absolutely play his way back into training camps and an NFL deal. Luis Perez with the Birmingham Iron, Logan Woodside. I believe Josh Woodrum of the Salt Lake Stallions, who's now 25 or 26. He's played against the Redskins in the preseason the last couple years with the Ravens. Christian Hackenberg was an early-round pick, plays with the Memphis Express. Matt Sims has played against the Skins in the preseason as well. He plays with the Atlanta Legends, who also have Aaron Murray from Georgia, who's been in the NFL. So it's a lot of guys that have fizzled out. None of them have the resume of Colin Kaepernick, obviously. None of them also have been blackballed from the NFL. Yeah.
Nobody has the 2012 and 2013 seasons that he put together
for
a great San Francisco team. Nobody else has that. His circumstances are unique. These other guys, to me, will never make it in the NFL, ever. Maybe they'll hold a clipboard one day. They can aspire to
that. They could get back to a point, I would say, where they could be a third quarterback for a season and make a payday, or maybe even be a backup on a team with a durable starter.
I understand it isn't fair. I understand it stinks, but there's your lot. You can either hold out for something better and continue to hold out in perpetuity, or go and show the whole world that there's no doubt about you.
One of my frustrations on the Kaepernick conversation is, we got a call a few minutes ago saying, this guy went to the Super Bowl. He's proven what he is. He went to the Super Bowl the year Robert Griffin was one of the best quarterbacks in the league. How is that? How much has changed since then? Griffin is now a backup who will never start again unless someone gets hurt. In the time since, Kaepernick has never played like that. In fact, he finished a season at one point in time with a quarterback rating in the 70s, where he had basically the same number of touchdowns as interceptions and got benched for a guy who is a career backup. So, yes, he was excellent in 2012. He's also been the opposite of that since. Brandon is in Woodbridge, and he's listening to weird music. Brandon, how are you? I'm going to put you back on hold. What was that?
That was beautiful.
That sounds like he put us on elevator music.
Doing
like
his own thing on a synthesizer?
He's got a switchboard or
a
something.
Casio keyboard?
Playing a didgeridoo? Danny in D.C., you're on G&D.
Danny?
Hey, guys. First of all, I love the show. But
appreciate
honestly,
you.
I don't think you guys could be more wrong this one time. I got several points. One, I think that him saying that if it's true that he asked for $20 million, it's just a way of saying that he's not interested. Because we all know that $20 million is not realistic for that league.
Right. Correct.
But I just heard you guys last week, one of you, speak on how this league is a joke and you wouldn't watch it even if you were paid to watch it. So I understand that if he wants to get back in the league, this is an entry point, but that's the actual problem. The fact that we can pick up the Sanchez's and the Josh Johnson's off the street for nothing, and this guy would have to prove himself that he's worthy of being a backup, of being in the league, it doesn't make any sense.
But Danny, hold on. Look, I want to ask you. Oh, did he hang up?
Sorry, he's
that's
gone.
Okay. I'm going to say this again because people don't seem to catch this in my view. It is not fair. He has to do more than anybody else that's accomplished what he's accomplished would have to do to, quote, get back into the league. Nothing is fair about this.
Either do that or don't, though. But let's stop talking about the fact that he wants to be in the league if he's not willing to do it.
But this is where we are. You either can say, we shouldn't be here. I fully understand we shouldn't be here. It is not fair. Are we here? Can we all agree that this is where we are?
Right.
Right? This is the location. This is the time. This is the place. This is the reality. Was it fair? The path that led us here? Absolutely not, in my opinion. But we are here.
And just to clarify, Danny did hate the league and is out on the league and isn't going to watch the league. I didn't. I'm interested in the league. I did watch the league, and the quality of play was decent. I mean, again, this is NFL backup type stuff. So if anybody watched the league, I think they, for the most part, were entertained by what they saw. They enjoyed the football. The people that are still complaining about the league are tough guys who won't watch it. People who watched it, they saw a product that they kind of liked. Joe in Manassas, how's it going?
Hey, Grant, Danny, how's it going, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, so I don't agree or disagree with a whole lot of what you guys are saying. I think the $20 million, I think that's a little outrageous for this league. The one thing that I will comment on is your analogy of you guys being out of work and then taking a different job at a different hour or different pay or whatever it is. With this type of job for Colin Kaepernick, I don't know how – I'm ignorant to the sense of the health benefits. If he gets an Alex Smith, breaks his leg, career's over.
It's a fair part of the conversation. No, it's a good point.
I don't know how that then works, and that jeopardizes, obviously, his opportunity to get back into the NFL, but then what's he then doing after that, and how much money is guaranteed going forward? Thanks, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Great point. It's a great question. I don't know about the future in the way of if he has an Alex Smith injury. Chances aren't great, but let's say he does. What happens after that? How do they take care of him? I don't know. What I do know is if his goal is to play in the NFL, by not playing in this league, he's not going to. By playing in this league, the chances go up. Is the risk worth it to you? Is the juice worth the squeeze? By sitting around, throwing your hands in the air, going, no one's letting me play, you're getting further and further away. You've gone multiple years without getting a shot. By playing in this league, you're forcing the hand, and I promise you, you'd get into a training camp if you played in this league.
And he'd be at risk, honestly. I mean, I saw a guy's helmet pop off on a highlight inadvertently.
Right.
I mean, Yeah, you don't want to do that for a fraction of what you were making a couple years ago. But again, how important is it to you?
Do you want to play in the NFL or not? You take the risk now to potentially make your next, I can't see him getting a $100 million contract at any point at this age, but your next big deal to actually stay in the NFL for a few seasons. Paul in D.C., you're on Grant and Danny.
Good morning, gentlemen. I think this idea of putting pressure on the NFL owners, I think, is unrealistic. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, they're powerful, they're wealthy, they're going to do what they want or not want to do. So I look at it more as a lose-lose situation for Kaepernick, because if he goes out and he doesn't play, you know, perfect or to unrealistic standards, then they'll say, I told you so. If he goes out and he shreds them, they'll say, well, look who he's playing against. And so I think, you know, if there's a genuine interest in employing this guy, invite him to a training camp, evaluate him in that context, evaluate him in the preseason. But I think the idea of going out and beating up on JV bums means the NFL, look, I just don't see it. Thanks, guys.
Good call.
There's going to be other quarterbacks in this league that get NFL looks out of this. Maybe Kaepernick's different in your opinion.
But his position would be unique. It would. It's different than guys that couldn't make a roster. Right, which is what these other guys are.
Some of them.
It's different than Christian Hackenberg, who stinks and will always stink and should never have been drafted by anybody. His position would be unique. I fully acknowledge that. But that's kind of what this league is to me, is unique circumstances. Maybe it didn't work out because you didn't get enough chances, or you sprained your ankle your first training camp as an undrafted free agent, never got a shot, or you got kicked out of a school, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
That's what this league is.
And I'm not sitting here telling you I'm right and you're wrong, because I think these are just two opinions. But here is the difference in our opinion. You think by him playing in the Alliance in 10 games and shining, it does nothing to help his chance to get back into the NFL. And I categorically disagree with that. I think if he went to this league and balled out, the groundswell of people demanding that he gets an opportunity gets louder. It puts it back in this day and age where everything's in the news cycle for a day and then it's gone. We're back to screaming about him needing a job. And an owner says, you know what, there's momentum here. We got a chance to move some merch. There are people that want to see this guy. Let's go. George in Waldorf, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
Hey, George.
Good.
Hey, I think it's a little simple, and one of the other callers hit on it earlier. You know, just the fact that he's asking for that amount of money from that league is basically saying to me that he doesn't want to play. You know, he has these opportunities to go with the AAF or to go to Denver or to Baltimore or any other outlet that I'm sure is available to him, because, I mean, he's probably better than most of the guys sitting on their couches out there. But we have to remember that, you know, it's up to this guy. Does he want to put on the pads and go play? Or does he want to sit at home and, like you said, throw his arms up in the air and wave them around and say, I'm not getting the opportunity, I'm not getting the chance, boo-hoo, blah-zay, blah. You know, do you want to go play or not? And if you don't, then just tell everybody, hey, I'm good now. I'm moved on. I'm done. I'm doing my activist work, but I'm done with the NFL. I'm done with football.
Appreciate the call, dude. Thank you. I do think he still wants to play, quote unquote, but only under a very specific set of circumstances. And I'm with you in the sense that if those criteria are not met, you don't get to then say, nobody wants me. Nobody wants you at that.
That's all I'm saying here. Again, everyone else wants to have a conversation about whether or not he got blackballed. I'm telling you he got blackballed. Everyone else wants to say, well, he shouldn't have to do the same things as Josh Woodrum or one of these guys.
Probably shouldn't.
You're right. But this is where we are. So now here's what has to happen. He has to climb through the miles of the mud and the gunk, Andy Dufresne style, to get back into the league. Or he doesn't get back into the league. Don't tell me, though, that you're getting screwed over and no one is trying to help get you back in the league when you do have opportunities. They're just not opportunities you like, and they're opportunities you think that are beneath you.
It's similar to me.
They should be beneath you, but they're not anymore.
Similar to me to what a lot of Major League Baseball free agents are going through. I understand the marquee guys, whether it's Machado or Harper, et cetera. Yeah, they're worth it. But like 36-year-old Hanley Ramirez is going, I'm worth $20 million a year.
No, you're not.
The market says you're not. You were at one point.
I think that's a kind of a decent comp.
You're not right now.
You can sit there and scream about how war tells you and the amount of wins and how much dollar bills a win is worth that you're a $17 million player. If your best offer is $9 million, either take the $9 million or don't play. But you can't say both. You can't say, I deserve to be in the NFL. Yes, you do. And no one is willing to allow me an opportunity to prove that when people are. It's just opportunities that you don't want that aren't good enough for you. We got to at least acknowledge the Broncos came to the table. The Ravens came to the table. Nothing has worked out because it wasn't just so for him. He's still operating as if he's a starting quarterback who can take you to the Super Bowl. And no one sees him that way. Unfairly, by the way, he's also hated by a lot of the owners. That can all be true at the same time. 800-636-1067. You want to continue this? 800-636-1067. A couple other things we can hit as well next, including today, in 1996, a firing that completely changed the NFL forever and has reshaped the last 20 years.
Not hyperbole either.
You're listening to The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.